Yeah, bring it in the huzzah. Yeah, rapping with the hood blah. Yeah, Chris Paul and rah-rah. Yeah, making that ha-ha. What? It's for the nerds and the geeks. Geeks and Pimp Fleet are the freaks. Freaks, game balls where we meet. Meet, clean gun on my speech. My win is bitch, save my peach.
Nerdlanta,
welcome to Nerdlanta.
Welcome to Nerdlanta. This is our official podcast. You're listening to episode number 5, featuring our interview with Jason Barnes. He's a local drummer who became famous for his bionic prosthetic arm. You may have heard his story, but in case you haven't, and even if you have, you're going to hear more of it later on when I play the interview back. We had the interview this past Sunday, and he was an amazing guest. We learned quite a bit about him. He's known as a cyborg drummer because of the prosthetic arm. I'm not sure if that's fair to call him a cyborg. He's pretty human, but he does have this amazing prosthetic arm built by Georgia Tech. And I think it's really enhanced his life in many ways. And he has a great story to tell, so stick around. We're going to talk to him here in a little bit. Please visit Nerdlanta.com to hear that podcast, the one that you're listening to right now, I guess, and all the other podcasts that we've had in the past. And we also have a list of all of our events at Nerdlanta.com, so definitely check it out. We got a lot of cool events, Nerdyoki, of course, the live show Nerdlanta Live at Joystick Game Bar. That's always on the second and fourth Sunday of every month. And it's Atlanta's only late-night nerdy talk show. What does that mean? Well, go check us out. Second and fourth Sunday every month, Joystick Game Bar, 9 p.m., and it's always free. I think you'll enjoy it. I hope so. This podcast is sponsored by ATLtodo.com. For a list of all the fun daily things that are going on in Atlanta, you definitely got to check out ATLtodo.com. Go to Nerdy South. That's a column that I put together. I'm one of the writers, along with Butch Brosman. Nerdy South, ATLtodo.com. Check it out right now, or if not now, after you listen to the podcast. Unless you can multitask, and that's a good thing too. Hey, it's time for the Nerdy South Weekend Update with Butch Brosman. Hey, Butch, how's it going?
We're doing fine, Chris. How about you?
Doing okay. So your voice sounds different. What's going on with that?
Well, we're reporting live this week from somewhere in the Arctic Circle, about 20,000 fathoms deep, from a surplus Soviet submarine.
Okay. So you're going to tell us what's going on this weekend for ATLtodo.com, the Nerdy South, but it's in a submarine.
That's right. We got a bitchin' good deal thanks to the indictments on Paul Manafort. You wouldn't believe what one of these old diesel motherfuckers are going for.
Okay. So, I don't really, I mean, okay, you know, this is the kind of thing I guess you don't have to ask too many questions about. Because it makes no sense at all, but...
Well, at least not if you want to be questioned by Robert Mueller about where the fuck you're getting surplus Soviet submarines from.
That is correct. All right, so ATLtodo now has a submarine. We own a submarine, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, and let me tell you, I'm getting one hell of a buzz from all these diesel fumes. It's like fucking Disneyland, but more hardcore.
Awesome. Well, let's get right into it. It's the Nerdy South Weekend Update with Butch Brosman. What do we have going on this weekend?
Howdy ho, nerdarinos! We apologize for being a day late and a dollar short this week. Sometimes you wake up with a case of the Mondays. An extremely severe hungover, never-ending explosive whiskey shit case of the Mondays. No regrets, it's just another way of saying you ain't living to the fullest. Here are my picks for Nerdy to Do's for the week before I make sick all over myself again. All right, so Friday on June 29th, we have the Toasters with the Southern Ska Syndicate at the Star Bar. There is no musical style more nerdy than ska. Or at least that is what people keep telling me for all the years I spent playing in a ska band. Well, let the haters hate and you'll be too busy skanking goodbye! And if you need a little more additional nerd cred for that, the Toasters, a couple of their songs were actually used as the intro and outro theme for 90s cult Nickelodeon show, Kablam! So why don't you go out there, have a couple of beers, put those dancing shoes to practice, and see if you can spot out those numbers particularly. Then on June 30th, at the Earl, we have Clownvis Presley. Part clown, part Elvis.
Oh, taking care of business, brother.
Don't miss this opening act for the Blasters at the Earl tonight. July 1st, AWE. There was a time when pro wrestling was one of Atlanta's most favorite pastimes. AWE is a homegrown promotion who is keeping that legacy alive and well. This ain't sports entertainment spectacular. This is Southern Fried Wrestling at its finest. And it's still real to me, damn it!
Are you
excuse me,
okay?
All those diesel fumes.
Oh, God. I can only imagine. Jesus Christ, man. Get a hold of yourself. Are you all right?
Well, you know, when you're confined in these close quarters with a bunch of guys and sucking diesel fumes, things are bound to happen.
I hope that's all you're sucking. That's all I can say. Oh, man. All right. Well, Butch Brosman, the Nerdy South Weekend Update, thank you so much. So we now, let's make this official. We own a helicopter. It's a Nerdy South ATL to-do helicopter, and we now own a submarine, yes?
Do yourself a favor and don't check your credit score for the next 7 years, Chris.
All right. Well, I honestly, I haven't checked my credit score in a while, so that's a whole different story. That sounds great. Thank you so much, Butch Brosman.
And Global Flexion!
All right, it's time for the interview. We recently sat down with Jason Barnes. He's a local drummer from Atlanta. He had an unfortunate accident about 5 or 6 years ago and lost his arm. It was completely amputated. We're going to hear about that story and how he gained a new arm, a prosthetic bionic arm that Georgia Tech actually made for him. And everything that happened after that is... it's pretty incredible. He has a great story to tell. Ra-Ra Eimler and Paul Byron are also involved in this interview. They're my co-hosts. You'll hear them. And what else can I say? I think you're going to enjoy this interview, so let's go ahead and check it out.
This podcast is brought to you by Nerdlanda and ATL2Do.com.
Now, I met you, I would say it was maybe, 5 or 6 years ago, right?
Yeah, so right after my accident, probably.
And I haven't seen you really since then, but...
Yeah, it's been about 3 or 4
years. I mean,
years.
Since I first met you, and then didn't seem like it was long after that, that things just really blew up for you. And I want to get into that later on, kind of go into the story about how everything evolved. But where are you from originally?
So I was actually born in Guam, non-military related. My mom's just a beach hippie.
Hey, buddy, where are you? What's up?
Wait, what? Where?
In Guam as well.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was born and raised there.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Parchmore.
That is the weirdest shit I've ever heard.
I
have never met anybody else from Guam who has even been there before in my entire life.
I made this happen on purpose. It's a Tinder date now.
That is crazy. That is wild. Yeah, that is so awesome. You're actually Parchmoro.
Yeah.
That's so...
I left when I was 21.
That is so wild. Yeah, no, I only lived there until I was like 2.5. That's wild. Crazy. It's so crazy.
So this is how much research I do on our guests before they come on. It's like I didn't even
know. Well, that's something you have to dig deep to actually find about me, probably. But yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, that's funny. I thought you were fucking.
Yeah, Talafofo Bay. No, Talafofo Bay. That's where I was born, yeah.
From Interahan. So. Anyway, Guam stuff, you know. Cool. So you were born on Guam, and then you're non-military family, but where did you grow up? Like, where did you spend the bulk of your time?
So a little bit in Guam, then I moved to right outside of Seattle, Washington, until I was about 6, and then moved to Roatan, Honduras, and lived there until 2000. And then since then, I've been in Atlanta. So cool. I would say I spent most of my growing up years, teen years in Atlanta, so AT alien for life, I guess.
Nice, yeah. So have you, like, how long have you been drumming for?
I've been playing drums for about 13 years now.
Wow. Long time. So it's like, so it's something that you like picked up when you were younger, or like, was it thrust upon you, or did you like, always have an interest?
No, so I started picking up music when I was probably about 11 or 12. My dad is actually a famous musician in Australia, and I grew up watching him play guitar, and then, you know, got a guitar one year and learned Smoke on the Water, and that was about it. And then my parents were tired of me beating on everything at dinner and this and that, and so they got me a drum kit one year for Christmas when I was like 15 or 16, and kind of how the start of that went.
Did you pick up right away, or did it take, you know, some time to kind of figure it out, or was it just kind of natural?
So yeah, it was kind of natural. Yeah, like I'd never been on a drum kit in my entire life until like my parents got it for me on Christmas, and like Christmas morning, my dad had put on like a bunch of blues and like BB King and Eric Clapton, and I was like kind of grooving along with it, and yeah, that was kind of the moment that changed my life.
What was the name of your first band?
First band I ever played in was a band called Silas Marner. It was a metal band based out of Atlanta. Yeah, bro, played drums and bass. What was your band name?
Manchester Black.
Oh, word. Yeah, yeah. We were all back in the day, like, Written in Red and Penny for the Old Guy, Agnes Day. Yeah, it was, like, old school stuff.
Got a reunion going.
There you go.
You're from Guam. We used to play together. Like,
does anyone else in the audience have an arbitrary connection to our guest tonight?
Is my cousin or something?
I was just like, no shit.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude. Yeah. I just met somebody recently, too. Yeah, that's how it was back then, though, man. You know, we're a Christian metal band.
But
you just said the fuck word. No, we did once, and we got kicked out and not paid.
So you mentioned that you you played for some metal bands. What other genres of music have you performed?
Growing up, my main ones were like progressive metal, and then like reggae. And after I lost my arm, I applied to Atlanta Institute of Music, and when I started going to school there, we were kind of forced to play everything, including country. I picked up jazz, metal, rock, blues, funk, reggae. So it's kind of everything. The only thing I can say is I cannot stand country music. Yeah, except for old stuff. Like I'm with Johnny Cash all day long and some old school stuff, but this hick pop stuff that is modern, I can't take.
What is it about country that you just despise? You know,
it's I think exactly what I said. It's hick pop. It's pop music for rednecks. That's literally that's literally all. It's
very challenging from a drummer's perspective.
Oh no, yeah, no, not at all. Again, pop music for hicks. It's so bad.
While I don't feel we have a huge audience in the hick community.
I believe
rural Americans is a better way to go about that.
So, you know, getting around to it, can we talk about how it was that you, like, lost your arm and, like, what led to you getting, like, a bionic kind of, like, prosthetic for it?
Yeah. So when I was 22, I was involved in an electrical accident at work where I was at the wrong place, wrong time. So about 6 years ago, I was up on top of a roof. I used to clean restaurant exhaust, and I was cleaning a fan that was on top of the roof. Wrong place, wrong time. Transformer exploded. It was in an old town square, so like really old electrical work and everything. Exploded and went into my back, and I was standing in a puddle of water with rubber waders on, so I wasn't grounded. So it tried to exit and couldn't, and then so it essentially exited the right side of my body. Like if you drew a line straight down my body, this side was burnt, this side was fine. So yeah, it exited through my face and my arm, which my arm took most of the damage. So I was in the hospital for a little over a month, about 6 or 7 surgeries, and then was released. And when I was released, I moved back in with my mom. I lost my house, couldn't pay my bills. So just out of boredom, I drug my drum kit out of the garage and proceeded to tape a drumstick to my stump. and proceeded to play with like bloody bandages still, and that was kind of the turning point in my life there.
That is definitely metal.
Thank you.
That's pretty awesome. So you knew that it wasn't over for you. You were like, I know this happened, but I'm going to keep moving on.
No, I thought but I mean, it was literally the boredom and depression. I was just, it went from like staying busy, playing in my band, rolling a joint, you know what I mean? And then it was like, have fun sitting at home, smoking weed, doing nothing, you know what I mean? And I finally was just like, dude, fuck, like...
You can just pack bowls now.
This sucks. I was like, fuck this. I'm dragging my drum kit out, and I'm going to make this work. And that was the turning point.
Yeah. And so how long ago was that, when that incident happened?
So it was January of 2012, so a little over 6.5 years now. Well, just right about 6.5 years. And yeah, so I was released in the hospital, and about 5 or 6 months into my journey, after I had started taping the drumstick to my arm, I decided that I wanted to try and develop my own drumming prosthetic. Mm-hmm. And so I went on that venture there.
So how did you even know did you have an idea of where to go for this? Or did you have to kind of like do a bunch of research? Because I imagine it must be difficult to, because that's an invention you're talking about. And inventing something sounds like a lot of, you know, planning and a lot of meeting with people who know a little bit more than that.
There was a little bit of everything there. Yeah. I mean, I had some mechanical engineer friends of mine, and then of course my prosthetist, which is a company or a person that makes prosthetic limbs,
right,
helped me out making the socket version, which is the part that attaches to my arm, and then you have the device being the hand or the drum prosthetic. It just took a little bit of trial and error, and the final product actually kind of became, it was actually an accident. If you will, I had kind of drilled some holes in there the wrong way, and it actually ended up working for me better. Mm-hmm. And that was the start of that. So yeah, it was about 6 or 7 months in, I'd been fitted with a regular prosthetic and co-developed like my own drumming prosthetic. And I played with that for up until about a year after my accident, and I felt confident enough. I got the band back together, and I thought, fuck it, why not go to Atlanta Institute of Music for drums and percussion like I'd always wanted to do, and I figured, you know, what better time than now? And then that whole journey started.
Once they developed this technology and you got suited into this arm, how long did it take for you to adapt to it, and how does it actually function? How are you able to manipulate this arm?
So there's a couple of ones. So again, when I first got out, I developed my own prosthetic. It's non-robotic, just basic mechanics. There's no batteries or electricity running it. And it just uses kind of basic fulcrum points and allows me to play some of the most basic rudiments and patterns on the drums. When I applied to Atlanta Institute of Music, my first private lesson with my drum teacher, he was curious on like my limitations and capabilities and what I could and couldn't do. And so I explained to him my idea of developing a robotic version of my drum arm. And so essentially it would work the same way these do. There's a sensor there and a sensor there. So I still have my forearm muscles. So when I flex the forearm muscle down over here, it can make the hand operate accordingly. And then when I flex it up, it can make it. So essentially open and close, rotation, etc. I had an idea of developing a robotic version that would work the same way. So the drum arm, when I would flex this muscle, it would create a strike on the stick or control the grip on the stick. I had no idea of how robotics work or anything like that, or the funding for anything like that. And it was kind of just like a fluke, but my teacher actually taught private lessons to a student who knew a professor at Georgia Tech Department of Music Technology. He showed me some videos, and the professor, their team actually builds like artificially intelligent musical robots. So highly sophisticated stuff, robots that you can turn on. They're not pre-programmed. They can actually listen to their surroundings. So if you start clapping across the room or playing guitar or piano across the room, the robot can look at you, start bobbing its head, gather beat detection, pitch, and everything, and improvise accordingly. And he was actually looking for his new project around the same time that he had heard my story, and, you know, kind of went hand in hand, pun intended.
So it sounds like your hand is a jazz robot. Do you and it ever have struggle about how we're going to be playing this week? Because that does sound like an improvisational
robot. No, it's super interesting stuff. But yeah, the Shimon, the jazz and marimba playing robot there. There's definitely times where we argue per se, but it's interesting. All we're trying to do there is try and create something new and develop some kind of expression and creativity with human and robot interaction. We're not trying to replace musicians with robots. We're trying to create something new.
It's probably cheaper to hire musicians.
Maybe.
So maybe. There's no Skynet scenario going
on
right
now. Yeah, well, Skynet and robots, the soul issue is, if you will, is the biggest problem with that. And humans have a lot more feeling and soul when it comes to music, and that's one thing that is damn near impossible to recreate with artificial intelligence or robots.
You say that, but I'm extremely boring to talk to.
So, do you feel like, with your prosthetic, like, are there any limitations that you, like, that you're still working on for yourself? Obviously, dexterity is one of those things, but, like, do you feel like you have, like, the grip down? Do you feel like you have, like, kind of the basic mechanisms in order to...
So, yeah, I would say it's about 50-50, like, 50% being controlled kind of the same way and feeling the same way as it did before with a normal limb, and then the other 50% being this kind of technologically advanced assistant in there, which is a whole new ballpark to learn. But, yeah, it's about 50-50 as far as feeling normal. With the drum arm, we use EMG technology, which stands for electromyography, and essentially all it is an amplified piezo trigger or a sensor, if you will, that picks up an electrical signal from the muscle. So again, when I was explaining the forearm muscles, when I flex those muscles, there's a sensor there that will send a signal to the hand. Now, EMG is not very accurate. It's just 0 to 100 electrical signal. So for instance, if I put a sensor on my arm and I move my pinky or I move my thumb, it's still just this electrical signal. Maybe it's 30% and maybe 60% with the thumb. Very vague. And so we kind of have this idea of using ultrasound sensors to get way more dexterity and accuracy. And so with ultrasound, as you know, you can see, you know, unborn babies inside of people, etc. And so you put an ultrasound sensor on the muscle, and now any bit of muscle movement or twitches or anything is now captured by ultrasound, and it's not as vague as just 0 to 100 electrical signal. Now there's an actual picture that you can see or the computer can see and be accurate. And so we developed a 3D printed prosthetic hand just to prove a point, and then developed our own sensors. And what it's allowed me to do is be able to play the piano individually, so I can splay my fingers. I can move my pinky to my thumb if I want, or thumb, pinky, middle finger individually, as opposed to most hands that are out on the market. They just have certain grip patterns. So for instance, the pinch, the fist, and then you can go through, like, you can cycle through them, but it's not, if I just at any given time want to, you know, touch my pinky to my thumb or give you the middle finger or something like that, that's not an option for me. I have to, like, cycle through modes. But with ultrasound, it's opened the doors immensely for dexterity and everything. And so where we're at right now recently is trying to replace all EMG technology with ultrasound technology to allow for that more intuitive control on the drum arm, on a regular prosthetic hand, etc.
It's really cool. It's like watching the future happen right in front of your eyes. It must be so exciting for you to be part of, like, history. Because I mean, I imagine that you're now probably in a bunch of medical studies or something like that, right? Have you been told that before?
Yeah, no. This is definitely something that nobody could ever foresee. I mean, like I said, 6 years ago, I was, you know, a little over 6 years ago, I was playing in my reggae band, smoking pot, you know, just living my life like a normal person, and was a nobody, if you will. You know, I wasn't really benefiting society at all whatsoever. Maybe with the music if you liked it, but that was about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, an accident happens and my life is over. I'm devastated. I'm depressed. You know, I want to kill myself. All of these things, and you fight through it. And then it's weird because now 6.5 years later, we're literally on the verge of developing the next best thing for upper extremity amputees. The ultrasound technology is going to change the prosthetic industry for upper extremity amputees, like people with hand deformities and fingers and stuff like that, for good. So I feel extremely strongly about it, and it's just, again, that's something no one can foresee. There's, you know, a ton of people out in the world, millions of people out in the world with amputations and things like that, that don't kind of have the opportunities that I do, and that's basically what I'm trying to do. I understood that. It took me years to fight through insurance and this and that to get what I deserved or rightfully needed. And so our goal now is developing better technology, more efficient, and cheaper, so the everyday amputee in other countries even can be fitted with things like this.
That's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
It kind of sounds like an origin story for a superhero a little bit, you know?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Weird.
So.
That's not something you can foresee. I've just kind of went with the flow. Since my accident, I've lived my life completely different. I've just kind of gone with the flow.
Things
with
have
everything.
Changed dramatically for you.
Yeah, they have.
They?
And again, I was born left-handed, so don't get me wrong. It was a traumatic injury, and it messed me up in the head. Yeah. Oh, you're left-handed, too? Man, this day keeps getting better. But, yeah, no, don't get me wrong. It was horrible, but I wouldn't change it for the world. I was born left-handed. I still have my elbow. I'm missing my hand and fingers degree of freedom. And then, again, now we're giving back and potentially going to change the world for good. And I wouldn't give that up for anything. You know what I mean? I'd lose my right hand over and over again to be where I am right
now. That's incredible. Now, you have a question?
No.
Oh, okay, cool.
Wait, bro, do you have to cycle it?
No, I can do this one right here.
You can do this one. There you go. Yeah! Metal.
For the listeners at home, he has rotated his wrist in a very unsettling way while holding up the devil horns. It looked fucking metal.
It's pretty sweet. When did the phone calls come in for you to make these TV appearances, and were you comfortable with this at all?
So to answer your second question, no, I was kind of forced into everything. I was like the most shy person on earth, just kind of to myself, and it was like, surprise, you know, you lost your arm, everybody's going to stare at you now, and then surprise, now you're in the spotlight developing these things, and okay, we want you to go to China and Australia and Russia and show people what you've done with this technology kind of thing. So I just literally was like thrown into it and kind of forced to do it. So to answer your question, no, I wasn't ready for it. Nowadays, I'm just kind of like, fuck it, who cares, whatever. I just want to show you guys what we've done. Yeah, first question was...
So
we put out the first video when we made the first prototype of the drum arm a little over 4 years ago, I think. And that video went viral like overnight, and I think the first phone call I got was from the Doctors TV show, and they asked if I would go on their show and do a drum solo, which was like something that's never been done on their show before, like a musical performance or anything like that exciting, you know, has happened. So on the Doctors. So yeah, I was like, dude, I'm down. Like, fly me out there. Like, I'm totally down for this. And from there, like, we were contacted by like Rick Allen and his team. And a couple other people, Audi, the car company, was developing the new technology that the cars can, like, drive by themselves and stuff. And so they wanted a commercial that featured, like, all this new age technology and futuristic stuff. And they had came across a video of me playing drums with the robotic arm. And so they had it basically started when we developed the first prototype, you know, the two-stick robotic drum arm, just sci-fi shit, you know. And so everybody was like, hey, we're interested in this. And, that's kind of how I started that one.
That's awesome. So, like, do you have a patent on, like, pending, or do you have, like, plan on making this, like, open source in any way so that, like, people can benefit from it even if they don't have, like, a, you know, can afford, like, a...
Yeah, so the ultrasound technology we're actually trying to patent and get out as a company, again, sell cheaper for the modern-day technology, but as far as the drum arm goes... There was a couple like policies implemented by Georgia Tech and stuff recently that make it to where like I can't bring the arm home with me. I can only practice there. I can't really make money with the arm. There's like all these things because we got grants from the government essentially. So they own it, whether we developed it and designed it ourselves. They technically own it. And so I actually recently started a Kickstarter. It didn't go very well, but we have other options in the works. But we recently started a Kickstarter that kind of failed trying to raise money to redevelop this drum arm and make everything open source and out there.
Yes.
But the first prototype was extremely expensive. I mean, it cost us almost $75,000 to make the first one, mainly because the two motors that are involved in it were made by a company that's like highly advanced, now owned by Google, and the list goes on. And so open source is awesome, but again, like, you can make your own Tesla if you've got enough money, but... That's like twice as much as our robotic drum arm. I'm sure you'd get more use out of the Tesla than the robotic drum arm.
Right.
But a lot of the stuff and documents we've put out there just kind of show like the machine learning and the other aspects that we use in artificial intelligence. It goes far beyond just the drumming aspect. Drumming is just a really dexterous task as well as playing piano. And we're involved in the music technology department. And so essentially we figured like if you can play drums and you can play piano, then you can do anything. You can type, you can twist a screwdriver, you know what I mean? Like, that's such a dexterous task that anything goes, and then the machine learning aspect can be used for things like doctors or astronauts. For instance, like if an astronaut is out, you know, and has like a backpack with like a third arm or a fourth arm, he can look at a screw or something, and as soon as he looks at it and realizes it's a Phillips head screw, here comes his third arm with your Phillips head screwdriver or your tool. And so these machine learning applications go far beyond just drumming and music.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like surgery, astronauts, it goes, you know.
It's pretty amazing where this technology is going to take us, and you just, you know, came up with some pretty great examples of how we can use this. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing how this will, you know, fold out for us later on. I want to ask you, you know, as a performer, when you're touring and going on stage with other bands, what are their reactions normally towards seeing your arm? Are they usually cool with it, or are they indifferent to it, or, you know, is there...
I would say that's another 50-50 there. People either hate me, or they fucking love me. They're like, wow, that's super inspirational, or you're a fucking cheater, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah.
Cheating.
I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, I can see why. It's like, okay, you have this bionic drum arm that can play 20 hits per second and all of these, you know... Yeah, and all of these motors that are controlling it.
Yeah.
And
no
so
wonder
it's cheating, but it's like I did have to go through losing my arm to get there.
I just lost
but
an arm.
But for me, it's not a competition. It's just about look at the cool technology. Like, we're just trying to develop shit to make people think and create the future for themselves. It's not about, oh, I'm the fastest drummer in the world. I could care less about that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I do realize I have a bionic hand helping me, but that's not what it's about. It's about pushing boundaries and pushing the rest of this stuff forward. You know, and creating the future, not I'm the fastest drummer or I'm the best at this. It's look at what badass shit we did. Take our creation and make it better.
Yeah.
You know, make something else with it. You know what I mean? So we're just trying to push boundaries.
But you are the fastest drummer, so that's pretty awesome. Give it up for
I'm
that.
Not,
huh?
But
it's still pretty sweet, though.
It's pretty cool, man. It's really inspirational. We get a lot of inspirational people on the show, but this is, like, really cool because, like, I feel like this is going to help a lot of people in the future, and it's obviously helping you right now, and, I mean, I feel like this is a kind of technology that saves lives. Like, I mean, you wouldn't be here if that's, like...
It saved my life mentally.
You know? Yeah, exactly. It's so important. Like, I know so many musicians that... I had a friend who had to have, like leg surgery, he couldn't drum anymore. Like, he couldn't drum faster than like a reggae beat, and he like it like ruined his life. So I can only imagine what it's like to be a professional drummer and then to lose, you know, a limb like that. So it's really cool that you're doing that, and it's really cool that you got that kind of freedom back. So yeah.
And it looks goddamn cool.
Yeah, it looks
it
cool.
Really does. Like, I want to, like, not trying to make it weird, but that looks awesome.
You know what,
no,
more,
thanks, man. No.
Needs more LEDs, though. Needs
yeah,
way
no.
More
no.
LED,
the future is coming, man. The future is coming. It's only a matter of time. Everybody always asks me, like, man, so can I, like, hack my arm off and get one yet? Not yet. We're not that
like,
advanced.
No, leave
yet.
It on there. You're going to be weird.
10
yeah.
years or so, maybe let's talk about it. But there will be a point in time where, you know, we'll be fighting insurance fraud, just like people running out in front of traffic and people have to have dash cams. It'll be the same thing, like,
yeah.
Oh, I fucking lost my arm in a shark attack. No, dude, you hacked it off with a butcher knife. You're
yeah, give me one of those drum robots, though.
That day will come, but yeah. We're not there yet.
We're talking about, like, Ash from Evil Dead.
Dude, the Deus Ex world, the X-Men world, all that stuff.
Although, having a chainsaw as your goddamn arm would be kind of cool.
Oh, no, that'd be sick
probably.
As fuck.
Probably. It'd be pretty sweet.
That's my next one. That's our next one. We're
yeah.
On. Fucking chainsaw arm.
What other projects?
Yeah.
What other projects do you have coming up?
Yeah, so essentially the ultrasound one is one of the biggest ones, and then I'm involved with a guy now, his name's Pete, and he develops a device called a tripstick, and it's kind of hard to describe, so it's essentially just a second or a third drumstick, if you will, that clamps onto the drum and has different rebound rates, and it's essentially my first design for my original prosthetic, but... glorified and way more highly advanced. And so, yeah, but it has nothing to do with prosthetics. So the guy makes it for able-bodied drummers, and you can play all kinds of cool, fancy, weird things with it because it's just a stick that clamps on a drum, and you can hit the stick, and it can bounce in different ways and things like that. But we started thinking and getting together, and his device actually attached to my arm free-floating can allow me to do different rudiments and actually play, like, technical stuff, which is something I haven't been able to do even with the robotic one in the current state that it's in. And so, my two projects now are the ultrasound one, and then we're developing a cheaper version for people, you know, in third world countries and things like that. I've had so many people send me messages like, you know, I'm a drummer, and from, you know, Venezuela, or just like random countries, and they can't afford this kind of technology, and they want me to help them out. And I have to explain to them, like, I don't even own half of this stuff yet. Like, I'm still a guinea pig, but I'm really excited with the thing I'm doing with Pete from Tripstick, because it's going to change the game for even people who can't afford most of the common day, like prosthetics and things like that. So,
cool. So, is there a website we can go to check out all your work, or how can we find you online if you want to be found online? I should say.
Oh, I mean, you can find me online. Just search my name and stuff for all the social media things. Cool. But a lot of the Georgia Tech stuff is online and on Facebook and stuff like that. Shimon Robot and Shimon and Friends are the main ones. But because of where we're at with the ultrasound tech, a lot of it is like hush hush. Like, I'm not even allowed to Snapchat half the stuff I'm working on. So. Yeah. Because, again, the ultrasound thing, people have been using EMG for years, and since the whole ultrasound idea came out and we've been working with it, it's kind of blown up. And so, yeah, we're trying to kind of keep it down low and keep it on the hush until we get out there so nobody steals it. Nobody steals it from us and then wants to turn around and sell it to the amputee community for $50,000 or something. Exactly. Absolutely insane. I mean, this prosthetic device costs $100,000. Which is absolutely insane. You don't see my Porsche sitting out there, right? I don't have one. Okay, so that's where that goes. So yeah, our goal is developing something better and cheaper.
Hell yeah.
So I guess the answer is, for $100,000, it better look fucking cool.
Exactly, Paul. Right? Exactly. I better be able to spin it around in 360.
It's the Tesla arms, except probably not as on fire. Anyway, thank you so much for being our guest here
today. No problem. Thanks for having us, guys.
Hey, let's give it up for Jason Barnes. Thank you.
You're listening to Nerdlanta, Atlanta's only late-night nerdy talk show. Please visit us at nerdlanta.com.